He knows it's coming. He doesn't know exactly when or exactly how, but he knows it's coming and coming soon. There is very little chance that if he stays in Jerusalem, he will be alive by the end of the Passover festival. All he really has to do is go home, quietly, pack up, leave town. Questions will be asked, comments will be made, but he'll be alive. But he can't do that. And he knows that he can't do that. He's got to say what has to be said and do what has to be done, regardless of the consequences. And he knows what those consequences will be. But not yet. One more night. The night of Passover. Let me celebrate the great Seder with my friends, with my disciples, with the ones I love from the bottom of my heart. The ones who have been with me all this time, they don't really understand what's about to happen. And they might run away themselves when he does. But for now, they're here. And greatly have I desired to celebrate this Passover with them before I suffer. To sit together and break the unleavened bread and sing the psalms, and drink the wine, and tell the stories, and praise our God together. Greatly have I desired to do this before I suffer. That's why, in large parts of the early church, this was the whole of Holy Week. We didn't have separate days for Holy Thursday and Good Friday and Holy Saturday and Easter Sunday. There was one single day, one single night, on which the whole mystery of our salvation was celebrated. And this was the night, the 14th of Nisan. It goes down in history as the Quarto Deciman controversy, which sounds like something only somebody trying to avoid a C-minus in church history could really want to know. But Quarto Deciman means 14th. 14th of Nisan. The day of the preparation. The day, the evening of which is the Seder. This is the whole mystery in one. Later in most of the church, ultimately all of the church, we sort of took it apart and spread it out. And today we commemorate Catholics, Orthodox, Protestants, almost everybody, day by day, the parts of the mystery of our redemption. And we celebrate the Last Supper today and the crucifixion tomorrow and the wait by the tomb on Saturday and the resurrection on Saturday night and Sunday morning. But at one time it was all one service, because it was at this date that Jesus sat with the disciples and anticipated everything that would happen as he celebrated with them and then added new layers of meaning to the great Seder, As he took the bread and said the ancient blessing, and then added, "In this blood, this bread is my body, which is given for you." When he took the cup and sang the blessing, and said, "This cup is poured out by the blood of the new and everlasting covenant, poured out for you and for all," he anticipates already the sacrifice of the next day, the expectant wait for the tomb, and the triumph for the resurrection. It's all there in one couple-hour ceremony in that upper room, with the bread and the lamb and the wine and the drinking and the laughter. It's all put together. As we spread it out, we will look tomorrow at what we called Sunday the kenosis, Jesus emptying out of himself, Jesus living out what God said, the pouring out of God's self, the simsum of the Almighty, where God backs up to make room for us, where God pours God's self out over us. And then at the vigil, we will celebrate the other side of it, the theosis, that Jesus is lifted up from this absolute self-emptying to the glory of life with God. And we are baptized into him and into his dying and rising and into his relationship with God. But tonight, we celebrate the point that ties the two together, that is the pivot between the self-emptying even unto death on a cross and the deification that culminates in sharing in the glory of God the Father. And that is Christ's union with us. His emptying out is a taking on of who we are. Our loves, our fears, our hopes. And the creating of a model for us. As he has poured himself out, so should we pour ourselves out. It is the incarnation being brought to its completion with this group of men with whom he has been so close, whom he loves so much, and who are the models, the prototypes, the exemplars for all of us, men and women, boys and girls, people of every race and nation throughout many centuries. He loves us as he loved them. Because of his theosis, he is now able to reach out to us individually, as he reached out to them at that table, individually. He is able to offer us his body and his blood individually, as he offered it to them. This is the gift that is given, not just to our ancestors, but to us. It's that same notion of anamnesis that characterized the Seder. It's not a remembrance, a history book thing. It's for us. You were brought out from slavery with Moses. Not just your ancestors, but you. And you are given the body and blood of Jesus by Jesus himself at that table. Not just your ancestors, but you. You and I are joined to him in this celebration that ties that whole mystery together. And that's why a large part of the church, especially in the East, celebrated the whole festival this night. Because it really does encapsulate it, both the emptying out and the deification, and most especially in Jesus drawing us into himself, becoming fully one with us from the depth of his heart, so that we in turn may become fully one with him from the depth of ours. We sit with him at the table. We sing the ancient blessings with him. We receive his body. We drink his blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. And we know that his self-emptying, his kenosis, is our theosis, our divinization. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.